Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us once again today. This is Dr. Youngblood. You're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues, a daily radio broadcast that's brought to you, our listeners, to and allow you to participate in this Face the Issues broadcast. As we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the Word of God. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That's in John 8, 31 and 32. Then Jesus says in John 17, 17, "Thy word is truth." So, ladies and gentlemen, the source book for your life and for mine is the truth book, the Word of God, the Bible. And as we look at the Word of God, we do so, and as we find in the Word of God every issue that we could be faced with in life, whether it be social, economic, political, or theological or biblical, whether it's in the home or in society in which we live, we need to face those issues, ladies and gentlemen, from a biblical worldview. And I mean by biblical worldview, it's not an ideology, it's not a philosophy, it's not some religious dogma, it is simply what does the Word of God say. And today we're going to be talking about Valentine's Day. What is love? What is love? Have you thought about that? But first of all, let me just introduce it by a monologue that I think would be informative for us all. Ladies and gentlemen, we continue in the society in which we live to watch what I call an out-and-out hatred for Christians in our society. We have already witnessed in years gone by and continuing to escalate the Bible being banned from our classrooms and the public arena. We are watching the cross as it's under attack and the mandate for crosses to be removed in the public scenery. Public prayer in Jesus' name has been condemned for years, and unfortunately many Christians bow to the demand that we not pray in Jesus' name. You find that more often than not in the political circles where the politicians, even though they privately claim to be saved, they refuse to pray in Jesus' name to appease the, I call it loose likes, lost society in which we're living in. And now, ABC, by the way, I've used this for many, many years. You know, the ABC network, I call it Always Bashing Christians Network. Always Bashing Christians Network, ABC. The View with Joy Behart mocks Vice President Pence and his Christian faith and calls it a mental illness. I don't know if you've heard it or not. Let me just read you an excerpt from the printed article on that. The title of the article says, "The View star, Joy Behart, mocks Vice President Pence for his Christian faith and calls it mental illness." Listen to the dialogue in part from that broadcast on Always Bashing Christians Network, ABC. "The View co-host, Joy Behart, thinks having a dialogue with Jesus is a mental illness. The women on ABC, or the ABC News, The View, took a shot at Vice President Mike Pence's Christian faith on Tuesday, mocking the former governor of Indiana for talking to Jesus and even calling it a mental illness. It was started when they played a clip from the celebrity Big Brother in which former White House staffer Amarasa Newman discussed the vice president. Joy Behart then said, "It's one thing to talk to Jesus, It's another thing when Jesus talks back to you. Behart said, hearing voices is a mental illness. And the article goes on with the diatribe that in essence is denigrative for every Christian. This is the reason I always have called that the Always Bashing Christians Network, ABC. Because when you look at the lineup of what they show, it denigrates the family, it denigrates Christianity, and in every fashion, literally demeans anything that's called Christianity. What we find today in our nation, however, is simply further evidence of what I call the disdain, the hatred, and the open war against Christianity. But this is simply one more reason that we as believers ought to recognize that we're charged by the Scripture to love one another. So when we talk about loving one another, and we think about today being Valentine's Day, and the theme of Valentine's Day historically has been love. Have you ever wondered, what is Valentine's Day? When did it start? Why did it start? What's the essence of Valentine's Day? Many times we celebrate days like Valentine's Day without realizing what it means. I've got a printout of an article here on my research. It says the origin of Valentine's Day is not what you might think. And it's written by Bill Federer. Bill Federer, by the way, is a constitutionalist and a deep thinker and a marvel when I look at some of the research that he does on subjects. But let me just give you some excerpts from his 3-5 page article in relationship to the origin of Valentine's Day. He says, and I quote, in the 3rd century, the Roman emperor was being invaded by the Goths. At the same time, the plague of Cyprian, that is probably smallpox, broke out, killing at its height 5,000 people a day. So many people died that the Roman army was depleted of soldiers. Needing more soldiers to fight the invading Goths and believing that men fought better if they were not married, Emperor Claudius II banned traditional marriage in the military. The article goes further in relationship to this subject. Citizens were forced to worship the Roman gods by placing a pinch of incense on the fire before the statues of those gods. Those who refused to worship the Roman gods were considered unpatriotic, enemies of the state, and summarily killed. Emperor Dacian, in this article, says he persecuted, specifically in his persecution, targeted Christians with legislation forcing them to deny their conscience or else die. Sounds much like today, doesn't it? This was the 3rd century, by the way. During the 1st 3 centuries of Christianity, there were 10 major persecutions in which the government threw Christians to lions, boiled them alive, had their tongues cut out, and worse, Christian writings and scriptures and historical records were destroyed. Because so many records were destroyed, details of St. Valentine's life are very scant. What little is known was passed down and finally printed by the year 1260. Further, it says St. Valentine was either a priest in Rome or a bishop in Italy. He risked the emperor's wrath by standing up for traditional marriage, secretly marrying soldiers to their young brides. When Emperor Claudius demanded that Christians deny their conscience and worship pagan idols, St. Valentine refused to do so. St. Valentine was arrested, dragged before the Roman courts, condemned him to die. While awaiting his execution, his jailer asked St. Valentine to pray for his blind daughter. When she miraculously regained her sight, the jailer converted and was baptized, this article says, and with many others. Right before his execution, St. Valentine wrote a note to the jailer's daughter, signing it, "From your Valentine." In 496, Pope Gelasius designated February the 14th as St. Valentine's Day. So there you have it. For whatever that's worth, it is a little brief blurb of what I call historical reference to the term Valentine's Day. But ladies and gentlemen, as we make a further introduction and look at some of the scripture about love, because that's what Valentine's Day is all about, is the subject of love. I want us to understand you can call us at 401-1413, 904-401-1413. Perhaps you have some unusual experience as a result of Valentine's Day. Perhaps you have a question about the scripture that we'll be sharing, but perhaps you just want to jump in the dialogue and discussion and let's talk about this or other issues. You're welcome to do so. You can dial 401-1413, 904-401-1413. You're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood, and we're facing the issue today, and we're talking about Valentine's Day. Subtopic, if you will, what is love? Well, the scripture says in 1 John, the 4th chapter, beginning with verse 7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God," that is, has a relationship, a personal relationship with God. "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested," that is, made known, revealed, "the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten," that is, the uniquely born one, speaking of the virgin birth, "sent his only begotten Son," that's speaking of Jesus, "into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation," that means covering, "for our sin." Ladies and gentlemen, God is love. Love is the supreme quality of God, if you will. God can be known only by those that love him and live in his love. You understand that? Yet often we talk about love and what love is, and many times, in fact, I have a throwback in my mind to the 60s and those that were the love children, as it was called, of that era. And the mindset was, let's just float around in the woods and in the fields and the valleys and just have free love. We're talking about free sex. We're not talking about love. It was lust. And it was the whole mindset that we're just going to float around and do nothing because we just love everybody. We have a lot of folks today that look at love as that. And that's not what God's love is about. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, it's an impossibility to express or to have love in us for anyone, unless, first of all, we know God through his Son, Jesus Christ, because the love of God is shown through us via the Lord Jesus Christ. And without a relationship to Jesus, to God through Jesus Christ, it's an impossibility to love. And that's what the scripture is saying in the 1 John chapter 4 text. Let me just talk about for a moment, ladies and gentlemen. Love is not a sodomite marriage. Love is not just lusting after something sexually. Love is simply not simply accepting any and all lifestyles. There's a mindset in society today that says because we're supposed to love people and because God loves us, we're to simply have a come by y'all moment and love everybody. That is, simply accept any sin, accept any lifestyle, regardless of what the Bible says. Love is not just a willingness to be silent in the face of immorality. Love is not simply being silent when we're being attacked on every hand by what I call the loose likes, lost liberals. We need to take a stand. Love is not simply being silent and sit back and say nothing about the Islamic jihadist that's wanting to destroy America and destroy our form of government. Love is not being silent. Love is to, listen, ladies and gentlemen, if you have sons and daughters and you love them, you're willing to discipline them. You're willing to correct them. You're willing to confront them because of your love for them. Even as believers, there's a need to understand the word love. The church at Corinth, found in Paul's writings to the Corinthians in 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and in those two epistles, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, we find a great deal said about love. And I'm going to take a few moments in this broadcast to simply exegete some of the verses so that we'll have a better understanding of what love really is. You see, in the church at Corinth, they were mixed up, messed up, they were divided, they had difficulties and differences and major divisions in the body of Christ. And so in the 13th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul is writing a castigating, corrective, chastising letter to the believers. because they didn't truly reveal love one for another. And as a result of that, the Apostle Paul is trying to teach them a lesson on what love is not. He's using a reversed approach to show them what love really is. In the 12th chapter, 1 Corinthians, the 31st verse, says, "But covet earnestly the best gift, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way." And then it opens the door for the discussion in chapter 13 of what love is not. And so I call it the performance of love. Because Paul, in contrast to what the Corinthians were doing, Paul identifies the characteristics of love. What is love? You see, the church at Corinth, they were living jealous, envious, divided lives of discord. In fact, I've said so many times the church at Corinth had to have been Baptist simply because there were so many divisions, and so often we're accused of that within the Baptist denomination. There were divisions and discord in the church. And so beginning with the fourth verse, the Apostle Paul talks about what love is. He says, first of all, love is sacrificial. The fourth verse, he says, love suffereth long. That literally is, love is sacrificial. It is long-suffering. And by the way, this is according to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Love is part of the fruit of the Spirit. It means to be patient. Love suffereth long. It means to be patient. It means you don't fly off the handle quickly. You're steadfast, has the capacity of being wronged and yet not retaliate, willing to sacrifice for someone else. This is what Jesus has done for his church, according to Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Then secondly, the Apostle Paul says that love is sympathetic. Not only love is sacrificial, but love is sympathetic. The Scripture says, the Apostle Paul, writing of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God and a correction to the church and the believers at Corinth, he says, love is kind. That means it's not harsh, it's not rude, it's not brazen, but it's sympathetic. Kindness is the opposite of insensitivity and harshness. Love says, I feel for you, I understand, and therefore I'm going to not embrace your lifestyle, not embrace your sin, but I'm going to confront you and be sympathetic because I love you. Love is sacrificial, love is sympathetic, but love is secure. And that fourth verse, we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, what is Valentine's Day and what is love? And if we talk about Valentine's Day, and today is, we have the subject of love. But we misunderstand and misinterpret and destroy God's kind of love in the society in which we're living today. And Paul is trying to correct the church at Corinth. He says love is sacrificial, love is sympathetic, love is secure, because he says in that fourth verse, love envieth not. That is, it does not covet. It's the same word for covet, envy there. Love is not jealous. It is not envious. It does not, as some put it, it does not boil or seethe within wanting what someone else has. Love is secure. One of the major problems that I find so often in the lives of many, even as Christians, there's an insecurity. That insecurity is a result of not recognizing God loves me and I love him. And ladies and gentlemen, we're not talking about the sexual lust that is found in society today and calling it love. The sodomites have the philosophy that every love is of God. No, it's not. God kind of love is not what you find in the immoral, ungodly lifestyle of so many today in our society. Paul goes further in the latter portion of verse 4. He says love is submissive because the Scripture says love vaunteth not itself. That is, literally, love doesn't demand its own way. Love is not puffed up with an arrogant pride. However, it is submissive, willing to give in, to give right of way. Love doesn't say, look at my gifts, look at what I have, I'm better than you. And that's one of the things, ladies and gentlemen, that the Apostle Paul's already dealt with in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, dealing with the gifts. And then in chapter 13, he deals with the control of those gifts. And chapter 14 deals with the misuse of the gifts. So chapter 13 is what we call the love chapter, and it literally is the hinge on which the door swings that has the gifts and the misuse of the gifts that God's given us in the Christian life and our Christian faith. Love is sacrificial. Love is sympathetic. Love is secure. Love is submissive, but love is also sincere. Sincere. Verse 4 of chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, love is not puffed up. It refers to the inflation of one's ego, the inflation of one's self-importance, the inflation internally that goes around bragging about, look at what I have and you don't have. Look at the gifts I have and you don't have. Look at the talents I have that you don't have. It means to manifest a superior attitude, an inflated opinion of oneself. It's when a person thinks he or she has the gifts and talents and abilities that somehow they have produced for themselves rather than gifts, God's gift that's been given. Love is sincere, not puffed up, not prideful, not arrogant, not phony. It doesn't go around bragging about the gifts and boasting about what it has. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about love as found in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. Love is sacrificial. Love is sympathetic. Love is secure, submissive, sincere. But love is also sensitive, according to the fifth verse. The scripture says, love does not behave itself unseemingly. That means to be rude. The word here refers to an outward appearance. It refers to how something is said or done rather than what is said. Love is sensitive, not blunt, not rude, not brazen. Love responds with a tactful sensitivity in its response. It might be pointed. It might be rejected by others, but if it is born out of a heart of love that says, I believe this is what God would have you to do, and this is what God's word says, it boils down, ladies and gentlemen, to a willingness on the part of Christians to confront sin in the world in which we're living in and yet be sensitive, born out of a heart of love. Love is selfless, the scripture says in this text. Seeketh not our own. Major problem today is the meism, myism. Selfism, selfishness. Love says others first. We need to understand also this text says love is stable. It is not easily provoked. It is not easily provoked. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, it means it's love is not quick-tempered. Love doesn't fly off the handle at the least little thing that causes you to become enraged. Love handles problems under pressure. Love is not hostile. Love is not goaded into action because of some circumstance. It's easy to blame someone else for being provoked, but it shows a lack of God kind of love, God's kind of love. And that is the agape love. It is the spiritual love. It is the deep, caring love. It is the concern for the well-being of others enough that you say, I love you too much to let you do what you're doing, to go the direction you're going in. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Valentine's Day. What is it? When did it originate? We've covered that. We're talking about the essence of what is espoused in Valentine's Day, and that is love. We need to look at God's love and not simply world love as the world sees it, which is generally spoken of in a lustful sense. But love, Paul says, is spiritual. It thinketh no evil. That is, it's not suspicious of your motive. It's not suspicious of what you do or say. Someone says, well, I'll forgive you, but I won't forget. Love does not ponder and harbor evil, but is spiritual and will forgive others. Love, according to verse 6 and 7, love is supportive. The scripture says, love rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Hear me. Love rejoiceth not in iniquity, that is twisted, perverted sin, but rejoiceth in truth, bearing all things, believing all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this verse 6 and 7 of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, is not saying that Christians are to embrace everything that the world has. This text is not saying that love is to rejoice in sin or misfortunes of others, but rejoices in truth. This is the reason Jesus said that word is truth. It's talking about the Word of God. It rejoices in what God's Word says. Paul says, ladies and gentlemen, at the church at Corinth, listen, I want you to rejoice in what God's Word says and not what you think or others say. Paul recognized that the spiritual gifts did not provide spirituality. There are a lot of folks today have gifts, talents, and abilities that is God-given, and yet they harbor on those and dwell on those and somehow feel superior as a result of it. And the Corinthians in this text, they're rejoicing in the sins and the plights of others rather than rejoicing in the truth of the Word of God. In fact, as you study 1 Corinthians, you find that they were allowing illicit relationships to take place in the church, and we're embracing them and saying, because we love you, we're not going to confront you. And Paul, everything that the Corinthians were doing, Paul uses his lesson in love and telling them what love is not, because everything that Paul is saying love is not is exactly what they were doing. And the Apostle Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, a biblical writ, biblical truth, was saying to the church at Corinth, ladies and gentlemen, you do not understand God's love. He says, love beareth all things. It holds up. It's the tent that holds up under every circumstance. Believeth all things, not suspicious, does not question motives of others, but trust in the Word of God, trusting in God. This is not suggesting that there's gullibility in Christians at all. We're still to be discerning. Jesus said, you shall know them by their fruit. Love hopeth all things, the Scripture says. That is faith. Believes the best, anticipates good that will result from not resulting from wrong, but trusting in the Word. And endureth all things, the Scripture says, in this final few moments, endureth all things. That means to persevere, to keep on keeping on under the load, willing to keep on keeping on regardless of the conditions and the circumstances. Love causes you and me, ladies and gentlemen, if you're saved, love should promote us, prompt us to keep on keeping on, because the love of God that's shed abroad in the hearts of believers, it should be that which motivates us every day, because God loved us. We can love others. It should keep us, make us willing to keep on keeping on under the circumstances and conditions that we face in the world today. Patience, endurance, perseverance, all as a result of love. A checklist, may I suggest, of love ought to be manifest in the lives of believers today. How do you measure up? How do you measure up? Paul has said, love is secure, love is sensitive, it's submissive, it is selfless, it is stable, it's supportive, it's spiritual. Ladies and gentlemen, I pray that you have experienced the love of God today through Jesus Christ. And because Christ is in you, you can love others in the life, in community, the day in which we're living in. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. Look forward to being with you again tomorrow on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.